Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle the fire that is in us. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and see through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Well, good morning. You know, I offer that prayer before almost every sermon I preach, but there's no Sunday when it's more appropriate than this Sunday, the great feast of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle the fire that is in us. This is a day when we celebrate God's fire and wind the unquenchable, untamable power of the Holy Spirit, given to God's people as the enduring presence of God following Christ's ascension into heaven. I can't tell you what a joy it is for me to be here. I'm joined by my wife, Ellen, and the Archdeacon of the East, Monty Giddings, one of the great titles in the church, I believe. We've got it all going on today. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, and later on, the dedication and consecration of a new building. It really doesn't get any better than this if you love the church. Now, Pentecost is not really the best known of the great feast of the church. I mean, is it? It's not. Several years ago, my son was injured playing soccer, and he was taken to the emergency room of our local hospital, and the doctor was checking to see if he was coming out of the anesthetic. And knowing Mother's Day was just around the corner, he asked my son, "So what big holiday is coming up?" To which my son dutifully replied, "Pentecost." The doctor, obviously unfamiliar with our tradition, could only sputter, "What a cost?" Pentecost is culturally invisible. There are no Pentecost sales at the department stores, no gift exchanges around lighted trees, no elves, creches, Hollywood films with Jimmy Stewart. Unfortunately, a lot of our churches kind of follow suit, ignoring this feast of the Holy Spirit. We dress our children up as shepherds, as Mary and Joseph for the annual Christmas pageant. We put them in armor to be Roman soldiers at the tomb. But I've never yet seen a kid with a flaming head and speaking in tongues in a Sunday school play. Pentecost should be one of the more daunting of the great feasts, because this is the day when we commemorate one of the most chaotic and fearsome moments of the early church. The book of Acts says the believers were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And if that wasn't terrifying enough, they all began to understand one another. People from every nation ever under heaven living in Jerusalem all began to hear one another speaking about God's deeds of powers, and they understood every single word that was said. Every single word. And this new understanding, this wonderful miracle of insight, well, that may have just been the most terrifying thing of all. I mean, think about it. What do you do when you find out the universe operates differently than you always believed it did? What do you do when social or racial stereotypes you've held all your life no longer hold true? When you learn the people you could never understand or trust turn out to be just as intelligent, just as decent, and just as full of God as you are? That great ancient preacher John Chrysostom wrote, "So now the Holy Spirit descends upon the people of God in fiery tongues to unify a divided world. And the result is something new and strange." New and strange indeed. John, you have no idea how new and strange it is. Because 2,000 years later, 2,000 years later, we're still working by the power of the Holy Spirit on this new and strange mission to unify a divided world, a world divided by class, by race, by politics, even by faith. We're divided between those who have experienced excruciating losses and those who have yet to experience them. And we cannot see how the Holy Comforter can heal these divisions in Christ. But the Holy Spirit is with us, even when we do not sense that presence, even now, even in the midst of your greatest losses. One of my most consistent failures as a preacher has been my singular inability to help the people of God understand that the amazing things which happened in biblical times are happening still, now, here, in the present. We almost believe it, but too few of us want to say it with any conviction. Henry Cadbury was a professor of divinity at Harvard and a translator of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I'm reminded when I was studying ancient Greek, one of my classmates who was having as much trouble with that subject as I was looked at me one time and said, "You know, I think I'm just going to trust the translators." Well, Henry Cadbury once observed, "There are two kinds of people in the world. There are the therefore people, and there are the however people. Therefore people say there are children going to bed hungry in our community, therefore," and then they proceed to list the ways they can meet the needs of the children in their community. "However people" make the same beginning statement, "There are children going to bed hungry in our community," but they follow with the conclusion, "however," and then go on to explain why nothing can really be done about the problem. Those of you who will be baptized today, even if your godparents have to remember it for you, those of you who will confirm your faith in Christ today, along with every single one of us sitting in this congregation, we are called to be therefore people. Because we are powered with the Holy Spirit, who abides with us always. And when we seek to do God's will, nothing can stop us. When we believe that the Holy Spirit is with us, we can accomplish great things. Great things. Now, there's always something untamable about the Holy Spirit, a fact seldom noted by telegenic people telling you that the Christian faith will make you wealthier or happier and much, much thinner. As it turns out, that's the fool's gold of a theological approach which doesn't dig nearly deep enough to discover the true riches of the Holy Spirit. It's just a cheap alloy, an imitation untested by the fire. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, didn't mince words when he spoke about the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Holy Spirit will burn us if we are to have vision and if we are to have warmth of love. We must be exposed to the pains of burning. All that is unloving, selfish, hard, must be burnt out of our existence, burnt to destruction, burnt to ashes." And so this morning I make to you the most outrageous invitation any person could possibly make. Come and stand closer to this holy fire. See the holy flame. Feel the wind, experience the heat. Believe that if God did it once, God can do it again. Believe in that which you cannot see and you can't even begin to explain. And join Reed and Matt, who are about to be baptized, and Hayden and Colby and Paul and Jillian, Carter, Grace, Katie, and Joseph, who are about to be confirmed. And embrace the Spirit of the living God, which, recognized or not, bidden or unbidden, surely burns in our very midst. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle the fire that is in us. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and see through them. Take our souls and set them on fire.